Good morning.
Today's Bible reading will be taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 8 through 10. So that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And it reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." That is the Bible reading.
Amen.
Good to be here on the Lord's Day. I want to extend a welcome to all our visitors here today. On behalf of the congregation, there are a lot of guests, and we welcome you all here today to be with us. Wonderful passage, Ephesians, the epistle, a letter that was written, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." There's nothing that we can do that can get us into heaven, other than obeying God, following his commandments, and doing exactly what the Bible teaches, to become a child of his. But he says, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And our task in life is to walk as God walks, as Christ walked. And I want to talk today about, we've got a topic here, building for God. Building for God. But I'm talking about the ministry and how we build as a ministry for God. How we see ourselves fitting into the work that we do. How do we fulfill God's work? You know, what do we consider as our participation in building for God? Could it just be being here on a Sunday morning? Is that sufficient? Or could it be what we give on the collection? Is that sufficient? You know, what should we consider? I want to use as an example the Jews. The Israelites, when they were freed from slavery out of Egypt, they lived in the desert for 40 years. In fact, we were talking about this in our children's class this morning. 40 years in the desert. Imagine that in a wilderness. No shade, no comfort, real comfort. And we see how God provided for his people. He took care of them. One of the comments we made this morning is that he only gave them what they needed for that day. You know, I go home and I've got a cupboard full of a week's supply of groceries and all the things that we need for the week. They live for 40 years, and God provided each day. He gave them food, he gave them water, he gave them protection every single day of his lives. He gave them laws to follow. We need laws in life. Every one of us needs a law of some kind. You know, in our workplaces we have laws, rules, and in society there are laws. You drive a car, you have to observe the laws. And whatever we do in life, there are things to be observed. Well, from a spiritual point of view, the people needed a law to follow. So God provided them with this law. And they had what they called an organized religion, different to all the pagan religions around them. This was unique and special because this was directly from God. And then he said to his people, he said, that I want you to build me a tent. I want you to build me a tent. We know it to be called the tabernacle. And it was a place where the people could worship, where the Jewish priest could offer prayer, and he could go and offer sacrifice. It was a rectangular shaped box tent, about 150 feet long. It was about 75 feet wide. And it was significant in how it was made, because it was made specifically to a plan of God. We think of Noah's Ark, of course. When the Ark, Noah's Ark was made, it was built specifically to the plan of God. And in fact, the replica taken from the Word of God, somebody rebuilt an ark. In America, you can go and see it, and it will go to sea, it would float, no problem at all. And so God had a plan. It had an interior room, this ark here, and it was divided into two small spaces, the holy place, as they called it, where the candlestick was there, and there was like a table stand there, and there was an altar to offer incense. And then separated by a curtain, you had what they called the Holy of Holies. This was the place where only the high priest could enter. He would go in there once a year. He would take sacrifice, and he would go in there. And there was the Ark of the Covenant, which was another box that was there. And this ark was there. And on the top, they would have what they called a mercy seat. And the priest would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on top of the mercy seat. And that covered the sins of the people. Now, the tabernacle had a frame of wood, and it was covered with materials. There were fabrics on there, and they were woven and spun with gold. These gold laces were entwined into them. And it was built in such an amazing way. The altar itself was covered in gold, silver, and precious stones. And all this was built according to God's plan. Every single piece of this. God endorsed the materials to be used. And so what God then did was he commanded his people to build this tent. He said, this is your task. This is what I want you to do. So he wanted them to build it themselves, but it was to do it his way, according to his plan. And everything was to be accomplished to the exact requirements that God wanted. Now, here's the lesson. Along comes Moses, and he gathers all the people around him. He says, everybody, gather around. Come here. I want to talk to you. Okay, God has called upon us. And he probably reminded them, you know, all the things that God has done. You know, God has taken care of us, and he's looking after us, and he's giving us this place of worship. It's like a portable worship place. But it's somewhere where we can have our prayers lifted to God, and our priests can make a sacrifice and cover our sins. And he said that God wants us to build this tabernacle, and Moses says, we're going to build it. We're going to build this tabernacle. So he calls upon the people, and he tells them the task. Now, if you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35 in the Old Testament, second book, Genesis, Exodus chapter 35, and we'll pick up the account. And this is the account following Moses calling upon the people and saying, God has a plan. He wants us to build this tent. He has specific requirements of how it's going to be built, and you all need to go. And you need to get these materials, and you need to get all this stuff together. You've got to make this happen. And so we read in Exodus 35, and we pick up in verse 20, and it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. Now note this. So God has a plan. He wants something built. He says to Moses, tell the people I want this to be built. Moses tells the people, and he says that all the congregation of the children of Israel departed. Now, they didn't take off on the holidays or disappear into different places. What they did was they'd taken note of what Moses had told them, and now they have departed to go and get the things that are required. It says, everyone came whose heart was stirred. Listen, your heart has to be stirred for doing God's work. You have to have a heart that's stirred. It says, everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. We have to be willing. They had to be willing. And it says they brought the Lord's offerings for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for all the holy garments. In other words, the Lord desired and commanded his will. Moses declared that to the people, and the people immediately went. And they came back with the things that were required. Now, if you look in Exodus 35, verse 30, Exodus 35 and verse 30, we see, "And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design the artistic works, to work in gold and silver and in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship." And so the second phase that we see here, the first phase, the people, everyone's told you're all involved. Everybody go out there, go get the stuff, bring it back. That's what you've got to do. So everybody's going, they've all headed off and they're bringing the stuff back. The second thing we see is now God needs craftsmen. He needs men who can turn their hand to the plans of what God has. And so it says here, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, was filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge. What for? In all the manners of workmanship. In other words, God provided the craftsmen. God provided the ones who would be able to put all these things together, to create this work in gold and silver and in bronze, in cutting jewels, in setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of the artistic workmanship in order that God's will can be fulfilled. God provided the skills for the workmen. And here we see an example of that. We'll come back to that point shortly. And then I want to refer to a third point in Exodus 36. So just turn over your passage to Exodus 36 and verse 4 to 5. It says, "Then all the craftsmen," so we just talked about the craftsmen, "then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commands us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more. Don't do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much." That is incredible. That is incredible. God has a plan to build this tabernacle, tent, this meeting place, his worship place. He designs his plan. He knows exactly what he wants. He calls on Moses to tell the people. The people are told to go and get all the things that we need. The people go to get all the things that they need. In the meantime, God now uses his Spirit in order to enable men with these skills and talents and gifts to utilize these things in order that they can build and design and craft and carve all the wood and all the features for the tabernacle. And the men who were told to build it have to go to Moses and say, "Moses, could you tell the people to stop bringing stuff? They brought too much. They brought too much to the table." And the people brought more than enough. The tradesmen finished the job exactly to God's plan. They received the command from God. He enabled them to do the work at a very high standard. He called upon the people to provide. They provided more than was required, and they had to be commanded to stop. They completed it exactly to God's will. So the lesson, when you review your life in connection to, let's say for example, we are called upon to build here in Leicester, to reach out in our community, to spread the gospel, to grow and mature ourselves, to develop and be the best that we can be in service to God. When you review your life, can it be said that you're bringing too much to the table? Can it be said that you're bringing more than you should? For me, I can say no. It can't be said. Because there's always room for improvement. There's always room for more. There's always room for changes and adapts in our life that enable us to be different. What is your contribution to building of God's requirements with your physical contribution? Yourself, what do you do? Who do you teach the gospel? Who do you share the gospel with? What kind of outreach do you do? Your financial contribution, of course. But what about your study time? Do you give your all to God in study? Are you reading your Bible every day? Every day? Your prayer time, how much do you invest in prayer to God? How much do you give in time for prayer to God? Dedication to the ministry, the building, the developing. Do you ever feel like you are doing it exactly as God has asked you to? I can't say that. You know, our life sometimes is so consumed that we almost give the minimum. We can end up doing that. We can end up giving God just the smallest amount that we have. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about ourselves. I'm talking about how we give ourselves to the kingdom, how we give ourselves to the ministry. We, here in Leicester, have 500,000 people to reach. And we've got to tell them the word. God has given us this responsibility. We need to be planting other churches around this city. We need to have a vision for all of these things. But the dedication from each one of us is so important. You imagine Moses standing here and saying, now listen, God has told you, brethren, that you are to build his kingdom here. You are to build upon his kingdom here in this city. And this is what he needs of you. These are the things that he wants of you to do. And the question is, how do we see ourselves? Now, the first lesson that I want us to take from this is God wants everyone to participate. When Moses spoke to the people, he wasn't just speaking to the chosen few, or he wasn't just a select group, it was everybody. It was everybody within that assembly, every single person, the thread. You know, some person probably brought the thread. They probably had a garment and they probably unraveled all the thread and carefully rolled it up and handed that in. There may be other people who removed jewellery from their ears. Maybe removed necklaces or maybe had some clothing, some leather hides or some kind of materials and fabrics, maybe a special outfit. And they donated that and they gave that and they took it along and they kept taking it along. There were people there that may not have given anything physically, but maybe they did the transporting. Maybe they were the ones that were gathering all the fabric and bringing it in, folding it, washing it, cleaning it, preparing it, sewing it. All these different things that were taking place. There were people that was taking care of all the materials and carving the woods and smoothing it down and making sure that everything was exactly as it should be. Carrying, lifting, finance, cleaning, folding, transporting, giving of their jewellery, giving of their threads, giving of their garments. Why? Because God said, I want you to build me a tabernacle. And the people says, we will give everything that we can give in order for this to be fulfilled. And they did it so well. They did it so well that even the craftsmen said to Moses, tell the people they brought enough. In fact, they brought more than enough. And so we too need to understand that our service to God is something that everyone here participates in. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are as a Christian, you know, no matter what background you come from, what career you're involved in the body of Christ. When God says, I want this kingdom to spread in the city of Leicester, I want this to be a united effort. And I want everyone to be involved. Lesson two. God wants your best. He wants your absolute best. He doesn't want your scraps. He doesn't want the... You know, when he called upon the people, I wonder if anybody took the jewellery out and hid it. Oh, I hope he doesn't see this jewellery. I don't really want to give this up. Or people who found a reason for not being involved and not being a part of that. The people did not bring their scraps. They brought the very best to fulfill the task that God had. Everything that they had. I remember years ago, long before we started the ministry here, and we used to do gospel campaigns around the UK. In fact, I think the last one, Sister Laverne was with us on the last one that we did. And we would travel around the UK, we'd do gospel missions on Saturdays, and we'd meet in the city. The first thing we did was we met the church in the city and we handed tracts out. We said, tonight we're going to have a gospel meeting. And we stood on the streets all day and we handed tracts out. And I remember we went to Summer Lane in Birmingham, the city of Birmingham, the church. They call it Summer Lane because the church is on the road, Summer Lane Road, in Birmingham. And when we got there on the Saturday morning to meet there, we got a bus of 17 of my children. Bethany was there, she was very young at the time. And we all arrived there, and my eldest son, he coordinated a lot of the work that we was doing. And we got off of this bus and we walked into the building, and there was a load of old people. They just sat in chairs, they were in the 70s, 80s, some of them close to the 90s. Some of them have got Zimmer frames and Walkers, and I looked and I remember my son Ryan saying, I don't think these are going to come to the city with us today handing tracts. And so we prayed with them, and we were setting off to the city. Just before we left, one of the guys there, he said to me, can you leave us a pile of tracts? And so we gave them a big pile of leaflets. And they took their chairs out onto the pavements, and they laid all the chairs out in a row, and they sat outside that church building all day. And then everybody who walked past, they gave out a tract. 80 years of age. And they gave everyone who walked past the tract. And we had 16 visitors that night, and most of them came from who they'd reached out to. 16 visitors from the city who came to the gospel meeting that night. And you see, the point is this. The people don't look at what you're not able to do. You look at what you can do. And God will use you. You see, them brethren there were not going to give their scraps. They were going to give their all. They were going to give everything within their ability to be able to make a difference and impact in the ministry that they are doing. You see, God deserves our very best. He deserves our best. That means everything from beginning in here. You know, Sunday morning isn't just about what we put on. It's about what's in here. You know, in the morning, the first thing I need to probably be preparing is my mind. That's the first thing. The prayer, the preparation, the mind, the focus. And then we come along and then we start looking at cleaning ourselves up and putting some clean clothes on and looking at how we want to look. And we come along to our worship with a mindset for God. Our mindset is focused on God because God deserves the best from me. When I come in here on a Sunday morning, I want to give him my all. We want to give him our all. You know, whether there are brothers praying, you know, the time that comes into that, the songs are clearly, the songs today have been well prepared. I know our brother prepares these songs long in the early in the week. We've not even thought about them yet. We get here and they're here. But we have a brother who's preparing his thoughts and preparing. You can see how well all those songs today fitted together. That is about a person who's saying, I'm giving my best. I'm going to lead this worship. I'm going to lead it in such a way that this church is going to be encouraged, edified. But most of all, God is going to receive a glory and honor that he deserves. Because he deserves the best. And so when we give God our best, God wants the best from you. It's in everything. You know, attending classes and being a part of the group. So Wednesday class was well attended. It was lovely. We had a wonderful time. When we had all the tables out, the tea and coffee on, we sit round and we study and we pray together, which is wonderful. And that's all part of it. Preparing a fellowship lunch, you know, I often thought about that, but you know when you're preparing a fellowship lunch, the time and effort that goes in. But what it's about giving God the best that we can give him. Not only here, but in our home and in our society, because we are called upon by God to build in this city and to make a difference. Now, next Saturday, I know our sisters they planned a fellowship day here. You know, are you prepared? You know, have you booked your time off? Are you ready for this? Are you preparing for it? I hope so. That you're going to enjoy this fellowship and also encourage each other and be a part of that ministry that goes on here. And so this is all part of the things that we do. We want to give God our best. And then lesson three, the last point, is this. God will provide what we need. And sometimes we're put off because we don't see the end result, or we don't think anything good can come from it, or we don't think that we're able to achieve it. Well, what you have to understand is that it's God that achieves the goal. The task is achieved through you for him. When we are serving God, he will always provide what we need to do his will. You know, sometimes you sit and you're reading scriptures with people and you're trying to share the word of God and you think, I don't really know where I'm up for this. But you see, God's word speaks. And when people are given that message of salvation, it is him and it is his spirit that will work within them and guide them through his holy word. He will always provide what we need to do in his word. There are people in this community that maybe we have passed by. And God may just have sent them our way and we missed it. We missed it. That could be true. And so we have to be always alert. We don't know what opportunities within our homes, within our families. You know, the most unlikeliest of people will give their lives to Christ if they hear his message. So our task is to ensure that we are aiming to do his will. And we must take the first step by faith. Because of this is part of who we are and the work that we do. And you know, I think the best example that we could ever have ourselves would be the time that a group of us stood around here just over a year ago, making a decision to buy a building that we didn't have the money for. And it was clear to the brothers that stood around this baptistry, we're having this building. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. And that is a prime example. Don't be afraid to take the first steps of faith. Let this day be our first step. So Moses called upon the people and he said, God wants you to build them a tabernacle. And he wants you to bring your best, and he's going to provide the craftsmen, and this is how he wants it to be. And the people gathered together, they put their faith and trust in God, and they built the tabernacle. It was accomplished. And so we need to do the same, brethren. Will you bring everything you have to build the ministry here in this city? I'll leave you with the first verse passage that we read in Exodus 30:5:20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of the meeting, for all its service, and for the holy God. I pray that God will bless us in our continuing efforts to serve the kingdom here in this city. Let's have our invitation song. Let's rise and sing.